to the Middle East now, where the United Nations noted a particularly barbaric milestone in Syria, the operational base of ISIS, where civil war has been raging since March of 2011. The count of refugees in Syria has topped 3 million, with another 6.5 million people displaced inside the country. That's nearly half of the population. ISIS's territorial gains in Syria and Iraq and the West's slow mobilization to confront ISIS suggest that there will be no going home for these refugees anytime soon. Meanwhile, intelligence agencies have been scrambling to put together an organizational chart for ISIS, which we know is led by the outspoken Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Other leaders are just becoming known, though, and where they came from is as interesting as where they seem to be heading. Eric Schmidt has been learning more about the leadership of ISIS. He is a national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times.
One of the things that we've come across is some information that was recovered. Actually, ISIS documents in Iraq that were recovered by Iraqi security forces during some of their recent operations. And what it does is it does kind of lay out an org chart, if you will, that shows kind of the structure beneath the ultimate leader, Abu Bakr Baghdadi. And what's interesting about it is a number of these individuals are former Iraqi military officers, people who served in Saddam Hussein's military and then fought against the Americans for over a decade in Iraq. So they both had the military experience, having been trained as military officers, but then they also essentially ran a terrorist organization. So more and more American law enforcement and intelligence officials are calling this a terrorist army. They have the attributes of both.
Is Baghdadi an army person, a military veteran, and is he like or very different from bin Laden?
Well, he's more akin to bin Laden than he is to the military guys that he is basically handpicked. What's interesting about Baghdadi was he was actually picked up by American forces in Iraq in 2004, kind of swept up in a raid against a higher value target and put into the Camp Buka prison for several months in 2004. At that point, he was a relatively low-level militant, nothing particularly special about him, and he was released at the end of the year along with a larger group of militants. But what's interesting that intelligence officials now believe is that he made some of the most important contacts for the future in that prison. Some of the very people who are now top leaders under him in his organization are people he met in the prison itself. He's not a foot soldier, though. He is more of an ideologue, more in line with bin Laden in that sense. But what he's done is he's teamed up with some of these former military personnel to use their strategic and tactical expertise wedded to his larger strategic vision of creating this caliphate. And so far, it's been a very potent combination.
You know, it seems like there's an absence of the American, al-Awlaki types who preach sermons on the web as a recruiting tactic. And how bottom heavy is ISIS with kind of wacky recruits like the shoe bomber who seemed to, come out of a, kindergarten somewhere who wanted to wreak havoc around the world?
I mean, American intelligence officials are trying to piece together this organization, both the hierarchy that we've been describing, but also its appeal to American fighters. And there are now, by estimates, anywhere from 100 to 150 Americans who've gone to Syria to fight with a number of the organizations, not just ISIS. But what it shows is that ISIS isn't afraid to use some of these guys who may not be the brightest thinkers in the world, basically as foot soldiers, nor just to use them as many have feared and still do, as somebody who they may identify as individuals who could be trained especially to carry out missions back in their home countries. Obviously, carrying Western passports, that's one of the biggest concerns now of these so-called foreign fighters, that they can return to Europe, the Middle East, North Africa, or even the United States with the skills that they honed on the battlefields in Syria and in Iraq and carry out attacks at home.
One of the quotes from an American intelligence official in your New York Times story is, "These guys know the terrorism business inside and out." How would you say the terrorism business has changed from what Ayman al-Zawahiri, who apparently runs al-Qaeda these days, found in his early days with bin Laden? And how is ISIS so much different than what Zawahiri wants?
Well, one of the main differences is this is an organization that's already established itself as a caliphate, something that bin Laden and presumably Zawahiri felt was still several years, maybe decades away. They hadn't consolidated yet. But Baghdadi's been very ambitious. and basically say, no, the time is now to erase this border and actually hold territory and start to try and govern. I mean, one of the reasons they were going after this dam in Mosul in northern Iraq was it's a critical piece of infrastructure. And so this is one of the great tests, I think, for this organization that's, you know, it's akin to what the Taliban essentially carried out in Afghanistan, a terrorist organization that ruled and it governed. Will they be able to do that? Do they have the expertise? Do they have the muscle to enforce it? Or will they overreach, as various extremist groups have done, including their predecessor organization, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, overreach and have many of the people who have joined them, such as these Sunnis in Iraq and some of the Baathists, turn against them? That's what the United States and the West is hoping they do. They overreach and undercut their own success. So far, they've kind of been walking that line pretty carefully, though.
Eric Schmidt is a national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.